So hi everybody, welcome along to Tuesday morning, and those online are welcome to this class. So as you know, we're doing Death and Rebirth, and we're up to class 5. So we'll do it like we normally do, which is to do a short meditation, then say some prayers, and then we engage in the class itself. So please just get comfortable in your seat. Yeah, just try to make sure that your, that your back is straight and shoulders are relaxed. Place your hands wherever you like. And you can allow your eyes to close or keep them partially open. So when you're sitting comfortably, just allow your body to breathe itself. And as the body breathes itself, just become aware of what's going on, how you feel, what you can hear. And whatever you're experiencing, just try to relax into the awareness of that. And then imagine the nature of the ground that you're sitting upon is a starry, soft, sapphire light. And all space is filled with rainbows and offerings. And the space in front of you, on a throne, sitting on cushions of lotus, sun and moon, is the Buddha Shakyamuni. And he is surrounded by an assembly of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, deities and other enlightened beings. And surrounding you are all sentient beings. So your mother is sitting beside you on your left, your father beside you on the right, family and close friends are behind you, difficult people are right in front of you, and strangers surround these four groups of people. Now the causes that support your life aren't all that many. While the causes that could separate you from this life are many. And your death can take place at any time. So you and I, we are both fortunate to still be alive today. And while we are alive, we have the leisure or the time and the opportunity to attain a spiritual goal that we can set for ourselves. We need to act quickly because things are not quite right and this world doesn't exist as it seems to. Although this is the case, we have met a spiritual friend who is willing to lead us in the safe direction of the three rare sublime ones, the Buddha, his teachings and his community. So to make your offering of practice as purely as possible, imagine yourself to be as clear as a deity, holding a vajra and bell, within a sphere of great bliss. And from within the sphere of great bliss, join me in saying, I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge and I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. So having expressed this wish to develop all of our good qualities and to free ourselves from all types of obstacles and hindrances, in response to this wish, from the heart of each enlightened being, lights and nectar stream down, and these dissolve into yourself and all living beings surrounding you. And these lights and nectars purify negative karma and obstructions. Your health and lifespan are increased, along with your virtues and realizations. So cleansed by wisdom and love, recollect the four immeasurable thoughts and just decide to develop these yourself and to establish all beings into those four immeasurable states. So join me in saying, may all sentient beings have happiness and its causes. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and its causes. May all sentient beings never be separated from the happiness that goes without suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from the bias of attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. In response to this aspiration of ours, from the heart of each enlightened being, lights and nectar stream down, and these dissolve into yourself and all living beings who surround you. Negative karmas and obstructions are washed away. In their absence, your health, lifespan, your virtues and dharma realizations increase. So feeling empowered, relax a little more and exhale. And from that relaxed state of awareness, invite the field for accumulating merit, which appeared. So in front of all these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the enlightened beings, the deities and so forth, join me in saying, reverently I prostrate with my body, speech and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since the beginning of this time and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of sight existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own and others' merits to the great enlightenment. So having purified our body, speech and mind and accumulated merit, we now need to prevent ourselves from grasping at this merit and the state of purification to be inherently existent. To stop that, we imagine our body, our enjoyments and our merits. In the world itself, all appearances are transformed into wonderful, a pure land, which we offer to the merit field. We do this by saying, this ground, anointed with perfume, stirred with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents of Southern Ireland. I imagine this as a Buddha field of offering. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratnam Bhandarakamayatarami. So the Buddha accepts your offering and he smiles at you, and you meet his gaze by looking up into his eyes. And in the eyes of the Buddha, which are looking at you, you find immense humility, wisdom, kindness, and acceptance. And you recollect renunciation, wish to put an end to all the causes of suffering. You recollect bodhicitta, mind that's so concerned for the suffering of others that it wishes to become fully enlightened for their benefit. And you recollect the correct view that all phenomena are empty of intrinsic existence and dependently exist. Now from the heart of the Buddha, infinite light rays emanate, reaching all environments and all beings. And everything dissolves into light, which resolves into the merit field, which resolves into Buddha. And the Buddha begins to diminish in size, moves through space to abide above the crown of your head, and then descends, coming down to your heart. With the bare face of your innate mind, with the covering of the perception of true existence and perceiving it as true, vanishes. Your mind and the mind of the Buddha become of one nature. And within that nature, you hear the sound of the mantra of Shakyamuni Buddha. And so you begin to recite the mantra. And you say, Jayata Muni Maha Muni Soha Jayata Muni Muni Maha Muni Soha Jayata Muni Muni Maha. The path of enlightenment is laid upon your mind. From your heart, waves of light begin to fill the 10 directions of space. Every sentient being within space is utterly transformed. Your purposes and the purposes of others are achieved. Now the light begins to withdraw from the 10 directions of space and re-enters your heart. Feel your body breathing itself. You hear the sounds of traffic or other sounds within the room. Feel embodied. And you recognize that this meditation was one of imagination. The process of imagination has imprinted the mind with this possibility for full awakening for the benefit of others. You think, well, okay, good. Today I've done something meaningful. Today I've set an intention to become fully awakened for the benefit of others. And I want to nourish that intention with the awareness of impermanence and death, so that I don't waste this life. Remember, this is an intention to listen and engage in the teachings, breathing through your nostrils, exhale through your mouth, allow your eyes to flutter open if they're closed, and just move about in the seat, feel quite comfortable and calm at ease. Okay, let's have a look at what we've covered. So we began by looking at impermanence. We looked at gross impermanence, which refers to death, and subtle impermanence, where phenomena don't last for a second moment. They come into being and sort of go out of existence simultaneously. And these are what they call the eight worldly concerns, which sort of hold us back from spiritual practice. There are great benefits for recollecting our death and impermanence, and we're sort of quite disadvantaged when we forget that our death is certain, the time of death uncertain, and only Dharma will help at the time of death. There's a meditation we had a look at called the Nine Reasons, and so I'll just look at the three roots I just said. And so when we know that our death is certain, we should decide to practice Dharma. When we know that our time of death is uncertain, we should decide to practice it immediately. And when we know that only Dharma can help at the time of death, then we should make sure that type of Dharma we practice is pure Dharma. It's either aimed at a future life, liberation, or enlightenment. And then last week we looked at what we call the five forces, or the five powers that we can call upon at the time of death. So if you remember, these were the intention, familiarity, the white seed, repudiation, and aspiration or prayer. So we need to remember what the purpose of our life was at the time of death. So this is the power of intention. We go, okay, I intend to carry this, my spiritual path, from this life into the next life. The best way you can do that is to remind yourself of the mind of enlightenment. Two is the power of familiarity. It's either you're familiar with a practice. One of the most simple practices you can do is just to lie on your right side, and you can do this in this life now. You should actually practice it this way. When you lie on your right side when you go to bed, you just block off the right nostril with one of your fingers and just breathe through the left. This is because, as I said, the right nostril, the airs that move through, have a lot to do with our anger, the power of anger. So you want to shut that off. Because anger is the worst, because you die with a mind of anger, you end up in the lower realms, which basically means you've wasted this life. It's a very simple thing to do. Every time you move on to your right side, just put your hand over there, lock that nostril off. The white seed, of course, in this practice, is so you've prevented anger like this, but the other thing is you want to prevent attachment. So the white seed means give away anything that you could be attached to at the time of death. Then always repudiate your grasping at an intrinsic existence, your aversion, and your attachments. So this is what they call, repudiate self-grasping and self-cherishing. And then finally, Dharma's aspiration to awaken for the benefit of all sentient beings. These are the five powers you could practice at the time of death. You'll find if you take up Buddhism, you're doing this every day, basically. You're doing something very like it, so it's nothing new you're being introduced to. So today we're going to look at the situations for death. So there are four. We'll look at each of those. And then we'll look at the dying process itself and the purpose of looking at this. It's called a practice of recognition. So as we go through it, I'll tell you what you need to recognize, and you can do this like now, so that when it actually takes place, you know what's happening. You know, you can be scared. And this dying process and the practice of recognition actually comes from the tantric perspective. So you don't often you won't often find this in the normal texts you read, but oftentimes the Tibetan masters put it in there. But it actually comes from the tantric teachings. And these are some of the very useful books that you can call upon. So I went looking for this one up here in the middle called Death, Intermediate State and Rebirth. So it's got a stupa with the two eyes. I went looking in my bookcase, it's not there. And I'm going, why is that not there? Who could I? And I went, we had a flood. And that book got destroyed, and I've never replaced it. So I had to find a book with all the material, and I grabbed this one, Wholesome Fear. You can see it's up here. It's also on sale upstairs for like $8.
I think.
Yeah. Now, why I say that? So I particularly like this book because the print size is larger, so it's easy to read, and it's got a very nice conversational style on how it presents everything. So everything we've done is in here. Everything we've done, all these classes, side pass in here. It's lovely because it only takes up a couple of pages for each one. Just gets straight to the point too. Where the other one, Death, Intermediate State, Rebirth, that writing is very scholastic. And when I did a course on this many years ago at CI, that was the book we used, and we spent nearly a month on this. So it's have a look at what we've got. So let's look first of all the four situations for death. So death, according to the Buddhist teachings, occurs due to four distinct situations. So the first situation is your lifespan is exhausted. It just comes to an end. And like I said, this could take place at any time. We know that young children die, athletes who seem to be in great health just die. Many times the causes are sort of unknown. From a Buddhist perspective, this is that the karmic force that brought you into this life sort of finishes, it's exhausted. So you end up dying. So the lifetime naturally ends, so that's one. Now the second one is what they call the exhaustion of merit. So merit is like the fuel for your life. So this merit could be, for instance, having a roof over your head, having a job, having good access to good food and water. You need all of these external phenomena to keep you going in life. Healthcare. Yeah, there's lots of things that the Buddhists call merit. Good medicines. So these are these two main ones, and now we've got the third one, which is both are exhausted. Now that happens, basically it's the end for you. So if one goes out, you can still live it, you can still stay alive, or as we all know. But if both go out, you're in a lot of trouble. And then the third one is what they call the ripening of destructive karma. The fourth one here. So this is like, say for instance, when a sudden accident takes place, or you're overseas visiting Nepal and an earthquake takes place. And it just seems completely out of your control. And sort of external cause and effect comes into play and you just lose your life. So oftentimes in the West we call that an accident. Accidental death, but the Buddha says that there aren't no accidents. It's all cause and effect. That's the place of external cause and effect, and we just get caught up in it, and that's the end of it for us. So the ripening of destructive karma, it's over. The other two, you can do something about it, but if they're both drawn up, it gets very, very difficult. So this is different. Basically, there's three here. Exhaustion of lifespan, exhaustion of merit, and the ripening of destructive karma. But they pull those first two together and they've got a third. That is for the ripening of destructive karma. Yep, so that's one of the interesting things. So is there anything you'd like to ask about this? Not so much that when the karma is ripening, but in terms of the exhaustion of lifespan or merit, yeah. That's right. It could be with the lifespan when you sort of, you sometimes get premonitions, like shouldn't be here, or it's dangerous or something, right? Yeah, that, like that sort of thing? Yeah, I'd say yeah. So you can always do something about it, but like if it's the ripening, it's like ripening means it's happening, it's sort of over.
So that's often when there's accidents or you get a disease or you like wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, these sort of things, yeah. So as an analogy, we can think of life to be like a candle. Right? So the wax of the candle represents the lifespan, the karma lifespan. Then the flame symbolizes your merit, which is fueling your existence. And the sudden gusts of wind are the destructive karma that can put out the candle. You've probably heard that song, like a candle in the wind. And they often use this metaphor as a candle in Buddhist stories too, that our life is like a candle. And of course the wind is always used as the karma. You might come across these terms called the winds of karma.
That was very apparent when COVID first hit, wasn't it, of just the ripening of karma how sudden and uncertain it was?
Yes, and other things like when the bird flus came, different things like that. So from a Buddhist perspective, there aren't any, it's not accidental here. You can always put things down to cause and effect. And then, of course, there's internal cause and effect, which is what we call karma. Now, so what I do, I put the slide up, so I'll ask, are there any questions? And if there's not, I've got a heap that I've written down already that might be quite interesting. So one of the questions that came up was, what philosophical distinction exists between exhaustion of lifespan and exhaustion of merit? What's the difference?
Is it when you might be young and healthy and full of beans, and then just your life comes to an end?
Yeah, it's so like that. So the lifespan concerns the time, the allotment of time we've got, and the merit affects the quality and the sustenance within that time. So death sort of manifests through what they call interdependent conditions. So as you know, probably the deepest teaching of Buddhism is that anything that exists does so dependently. This is what you can really do, just look at anything and go, how does that then exist? You'll always find, well, it depends. It depends on lots of things. So death is a dependent horizon. And it can arise through these three phenomena here. Exhaustion of your lifespan, exhaustion of merit, and karma.
So these happen quite a lot, don't they? Because we're always exhausting our merit, and life's always throwing unexpected events at us.
Yes. This is the same. These are the four situations for death. It's just getting us to recognize, this is how we can die. But death takes place because of these four situations. It's all, even though we have these things, like you say, the lifespan, it's not predetermined. So you see stories in the text where a woman gives birth to a child, and her previous children have died, exhausted of lifespan. They've gone along to a priest or a teacher, and they don't want this to happen to this child. So now the priest or the master says, you need to do this with this child. This will increase its lifespan. So they do. But they'll say something like, another 6 years this child will live. And so come towards the end of the 6 years, of course, the mother goes back and says, right, is there anything else we can do? And they go, yes, there is. You need to do this now. Because the merit is still there. So like I say, these things can be altered. But when they both come together, so it's like, now a big, big problem. So when there's some sort of, when they're together, it's good. Just prolong it or shorten it. So you've got a lifespan, and just like I say, it could be like, in general, it's like 60 years. But in that time, suppose you take using drugs, and then you shorten your lifespan. Yeah. Or like you say, you have a bad diet, or you don't exercise as much as you could. So now the lifespan is not fulfilled.
So is that lifespan a general one, say, for humans, or is it referring to for an individual's lifespan?
For both. So now I've taken a lot of these, all these quotes you'll see today come from a book, all the quotes are by the first Panchen Lama, and the book is written by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And so this is a commentary on this particular text. So then now we come to what we're going to be talking about maybe in our class. It says, may we generate a powerful mind of virtue when the elements, earth, water, fire and wind, dissolve in stages, and physical strength is lost, mouth and nose dry and pucker, warmth withdraws, breaths are gasped, and rattling sounds emerge. So here you can see, if you think about this is, they're describing the process of dying. And he said, look, at the time of death, may you have a virtuous mind, like I said before, the white sea, may that be up front. You have the five powers in mind when the death takes place. And when death takes place, is these elements, meaning the hardness, the liquidity, the warmth, the movement and so forth, all the stuff that makes up a human being, they lose their power. And then stuff happens to you, and we're going to go through all this stuff. So in brief, the earth element, so we're talking about the earth element. So the earth element refers to the solid, hard aspects of the body. This includes bones, skin, nails and hair, essentially all the parts that give the body structure and firmness. Now, when this weakens as you're dying, so, you know, imagine somebody's looking at you or you're looking at somebody else, the body changes. You'll see it, others will see your body change. So that's what we see, but inside, it's also stuff going on. And the stuff that goes on here, the inner stuff, comes across like a mirage. So we'll go into each of these stages and then I'll explain more. So then the water, the element of water, is referring to all the components, all the fluid components of the body. This includes blood, urine, saliva, sweat, all the bodily fluids. And these fluids help maintain the body's moisture, they allow for circulation and so forth. So without the water element, of course, the body starts to dry out. Now anybody will know this if you, what's the thing that you and I like keep doing to do if you drink water?
Dehydration.
When you dehydrate, right? When you start dehydrating, stuff happens. And this is what they're talking about here. And not only that, the strange thing happens again, you see stuff in your mind. In a sense, it's like a smoky vision. Then, of course, all the warmth starts to withdraw from your body. So it's what they call the element of fire or heat. It represents the warmth and heat within the body. This element is responsible for our body temperature, our metabolism, and our ability to digest food. So the fire element transforms what we consume into energy, and it maintains the warmth needed for all our bodily processes to function optimally. Well, this is going to stop, this is ceases, and this is when we stop eating. But we don't want to eat, we actually can't eat. And so you'll know that if you ever sat with anybody who's dying, they stop eating, they stop drinking, and they stop eating. And this is primarily because of this element, what they call the fire element. Then finally we have this, what they call the wind element. So this refers to the various currents of energy or air that flow through the body. So these include our breath, but also the subtler energy that enables movements, speech and other bodily functions. So these types, they're sort of like consciousnesses. So here, like, this is a tantric explanation. So we're really now into the inner workings of the body and mind, and subtle. Now when this happens, what we have is what they call like a flickering. That's what appears in your mind. So this is in general, so now we're going to have a look at each one of them, right? But before we do that, we have another quote from the First Panchen Lama. It says, may we realize the deathless mode of being when various mistaken appearances, frightful and horrible, and in particular, mirage, smoke, and fireflies appear, and the outmounts of the 80 indicative conceptions cease. So here's again the whole summary of what we just looked at. It's just summarizing all these elements are going to withdraw, become weaker and weaker, and each time we do, you're going to see something. And the very last one, when the wind decreases, so the winds are, like I said, these energies that support our ideas. Now, this is tantra. So ideas add energy. This energy is what I mean by the wind. Every idea you have has an energetic force. And it affects your body, and it affects you. So when the physical stuff starts to collapse, your consciousness is associated with the change. As anybody knows, like when you're sat with a dying person, what will happen is you stop seeing, your eyes stop moving. They'll either close and you can't open them, or they stay like that. And you stop really seeing. You can't taste things, you stop feeling things, you stop hearing things. This is what this is all referring to, this whole collapse of all your systems. And the last thing to go is going to be consciousness, and these strange appearances are happening to your consciousness. So the idea of letting us know about all this now and to, what they call it, meditate on it or become familiar with the process is so that you don't get scared when you die. You just know, oh, this is a natural process, this is just what happens. And you need to do it as much as you can now while you're alive, because there comes a time that when these 80 indicative conceptions dissolve, you can't think. You don't think. You're not capable of thinking anymore. But consciousness is still there. Here now we're starting now talking about these dissolutions. So now we're going to talk about the dissolution of what they call the earth element. So if you're in bed dying, or you're looking at somebody die, the body becomes noticeably thinner. In most cases, unless people are really overweight. If they are, what you'll see is the skin becomes sort of flaccid. Limbs become loose and unresponsive. The person lying in that bed feels as if you're sinking beneath the earth, meaning you're sort of going in, pushed down. The body weakens and becomes powerless. The limbs appear to shrink, and the body luster diminishes and strength fades. Now, when you die, a lot of things happen. And the way the Buddhists explain it, I think it's 25 or 26 different things happen, and then these other states of consciousness. So more than 30 different phenomena happen. Not all at once, but in sort of groups. So the first group is talking about what they call this element, or the earth element, or we also call the aggregate of form. So it's everything physical now. It's the most obvious thing. That's the first thing that loses all its power, and I just described it. Other things also take place, and these are called, they're referred to as the basic wisdoms and the different powers of the body. So the basic wisdoms means that your normal ability to perceive many objects clearly and simultaneously, like what we are now, you lose that. So in other words, all I can say, oh, there's Laura, there's Cheryl, there's the chair, table, all these sort of things. Right? You can see the whole lot of things and you know what each one is. When you start to lose the form aggregate begins to weaken, that weakens too. It's hard to tell what's what, in other words. The eye sense power, so now you find it very hard to either open and close the eyes like we do like this all the time. It'll go one or the other usually. But you close your eyes, they stay closed for a long, long time. You open them, then they stay awake, open for a long time. It's not like normal closing and opening your eyes. And then, we have closed our eyes, you know, we imagine things, right? So that's what we see, that's what they call the inner vision, your inner visible forms. See, these two start to change. And what is seen, instead of that, becomes this thing like what they call a mirage. Now what this mirage is basically, it's like water on a window screen that pours down. So like I said, you don't see clearly, it's
shimmering.
So Miffy's mother was dying. So you can talk about all the water in the room, and we knew, this is what they tell you.
Also had dreams leading up to that where she said it was like daytime stars, and the stars were melting in the sky.
So on each of these slides I've put up some of the physical stuff, and then I'll talk about the mental stuff. So when we practice, we're going to say, okay, so the first thing that's going to happen is this type of appearance, a shimmering or a mirage type thing. That's the first thing that's going to appear to me. So when it does, there's no need to freak out, right? And I'll also know that after this, another appearance is going to be. What's that going to be? We say, well, the smoky appearance will come after this. Now, what can also happen is a dying process. So it's not just all the way down. You go down and then come back up again. Go back down and up again. So these appearances, one will be one way and then it'll come back up. You get the old one, then you get the new one. But then gradually, they stop coming. You just get what you're getting. So you have this internal sign, sort of a bluish appearance called like a mirage. It resembles the appearance of water when sunlight strikes the summer desert. So this first appearance marks the beginning of the series of inner visions that continue while the dissolution process takes place. So for the dying person, these visions can serve as important signposts for practice if you've prepared properly. So this process I'll explain is like an ordinary death. Because it's not always like this, but sometimes there are sudden deaths. And this type of thing goes by really quickly, you won't even recognize it because you die so quickly. Now we come to the second stage. In the second stage of the death process, so these sort of things. Mouth and eyes are dry, the skin dehydrates and is pale. The flesh becomes very flaccid, loses shape and tone. And this is all taking place while the water element dissolves. So in other words, the ability of the fluids are going to vanish. And what's going to happen is what they call the fire element become more prevalent. Now, when this takes place, what they call the aggregate of feeling begins to dissolve. So your connection to sensory pleasure and pain begins to fade. And this a smoky type of appearance arises. So throat and lips become dry, the person can no longer swallow or take food, and body consciousness no longer experiences pleasure, pain, or neutral feelings. Your ear faculty ceases to function. So external, internal sounds really start to diminish. You can't hear clearly at all. So most of you know, if you block your ears, you hear like a humming. That goes. And the internal sign is this smoky type appearance. The person experiences a sense of the body drying up from within. So again, what was that we just talked about?
Dehydration.
I always forget this right because I'm often dehydrated. In fact, Mitchell was telling a story the other day to one of our visitors. I dehydrated so much I collapsed on my desk. I didn't even know it. And Mitchell's going like, "Have you drank water?" And my mouth's so dry. No, I couldn't. Find me some water. So the smoky thing has appeared, so this is what you remind yourself of. Now the smoky thing has appeared, so the mirage has vanished. Mirage is gone, and the next thing that's going to happen is I'm going to get this sparking type. Now we're moving on to the third stage coming up. So in this third stage, you start getting very cold. So your body heat disappears and you stop breathing altogether. Inhalation becomes very difficult and weak, whereas the exhalation is long and strong. So again, if you've sat with someone who's died, this is exactly what we see. Now the person at this time is no longer aware of things around them. They cannot recognize people who surround them. They can't discern the purpose of what others say. And there's no really recognition of people as being people. So an inability to remember the names of people. You lose the capacity to analyze and discern what's correct and what's not. And at this time also, you lose your ability to smell.
With the first one of the mirage, can you have that happen in your life without dying. Like,
I remember being
incredibly sick and having that, like, my vision going like a mirage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it doesn't work. This is when you only have this with dying. You have this when your elements all start to weaken. So you can have it just, you know, like, and if you keep going down, of course, it's getting worse and worse, isn't it? Yeah, they go, they slide into one another, Ruby. That's right. It's possible to come back up, but and sort of get well again. Right? But as you further down, you go, it's harder and harder. Mm-hmm. It requires much more effort, much more care for you to come back up again. And there's a stage, of course, where you can't come back up.
So what if somebody died of a heart attack? Does he or she go through all this?
All this, but very quickly. They probably wouldn't even recognize it. So this is like what they say, like a normal death, a slow dying process. If you die in a car accident or heart attack or sudden, it's like it'll take place, but you won't recognize any of it. So when this happens, it's called, you know, these, like what you see inside is like sparks or what they call fireflies appearing. And like I said, you get increasingly cold. You can't recognize people, you can't smell. And what you need to do while you're alive doing this sort of thing is you tell you, oh, here's the sparks. Like, oh, I heard about this. So. In fact, when you do this meditation, you try to imagine it as much as you possibly can so that when it actually happens, you are. You know, that's what I thought. So you say, oh, here's the sparks are here. So what just passed?
Smoke.
What just passed? The smoke. That's right. Smoke passed. What's coming?
We don't know.
No, I'm playing. So this is what we try to do, right? And so in a way, this is quite, I found it quite, there's a lot to remember here. So what I try and do is you just take one thing at a time and go through it to remember it. And you go, oh, okay, that's, I've got that one. That's easy. That's easy. And you join them all up. Like I said, something's happened to the elements, something's happened to the aggregates, something's happened to your wisdom, the ability to your wisdoms. Something's happening to each source.
With these images makes it much easier, just
that's
having
right.
the images.
That's right. Yeah. So this one's like these internal images. You just go, there's a mirage, there's smoke, there's sparks, and there's fire. So I went off the other life and went, like, okay, there's a fire, sparks rose up from the fire, along with smoke, and then I had this, there's a mirage. There's only four things there, we can all remember, one, two, three, four, right? Easier with pictures. You just go, okay, so that's the internal one. And what was the other one? And so I'm known as like earth, so I got, that's like the sand at the bottom of the ocean or the rocks. Then there's water on top of it, and up above the water, there's the fire, the sunlight, the heat, and then there's the wind. But you've got to find your own way. It's just like putting together images and going, yeah, earth, water, fire, wind. Who rose to the earth? There was the mirage. Who rose to the water? There was the smoke. To the fire, there were the sparks. To the wind, there was the fire. Okay, I got it. There's eight. Then I pull on the next one. Eye, ear, nose, tongue.
When you're dying, I feel like you wouldn't be analysing.
You won't be. That's why you do it now.
Oh, because this is happening. It'd just be like recognizing.
That's right.
Sinking.
That's
feeling.
Right. That's why you do all the analysis now and try and become familiar with it now. So you don't do it then. You just go, there it is.
And that's one of the main things that makes us frightened is uncertainty or being confused.
Yeah, and not
knowing.
Yeah. So it's not, you know, when you don't know, you make things up, right? You're trying to work it out. So what we try to do is do it now. So at the time, you relax. Oh, that's just what that is. That's okay. So when we generate strong mindfulness and introspection, so when you remember, in other words, you strongly remember and you know, oh, okay, that's it. May we generate strong mindfulness and introspection when the wind constituent begins to dissolve into consciousness and the external continuum of breath ceases coarse dualistic appearances dissolve, and an appearance like a burning butter lamp dawns. So I don't know, probably most of you people, I don't know if you're keen fans of, what's that great Canadian filmmaker? With the great blonde hair.
He did Eraserhead.
Yep, that's right.
David Lynch.
So have any of you seen the David Lynch films?
Yeah.
Right. So in that, he's got these things, right? When you see the butter lamp go, it's like going this inner, he's sort of skin the psychological states of the people in the film. Other times you get like the cigarette ash just got glows. Yeah, and it's like to tell you, if you know about these dissolution stages, he's telling you something else about what's going on the screen here.
So that's the key to David Lynch's movies.
Yeah, he takes all the symbolism from this, you know, puts it in the film. And if you know about it, you go, ah, so this is what he's also telling me about. He's telling me about something about the character, about this scene here. Oh, there's a lot of them.
Twin Peaks, for example. Twin Peaks.
And Mulholland Drive is another.
Lost Highway
in particular, these sort of very strange films. Anyway, so now we're talking about the fourth stage. So this is a really critical stage here. So like I said, so what's going to happen is this wind element. Right? So this is the thing that carries all your thoughts. So in other words, your thoughts are going to collapse there. You're not going to be able to think. They call it 80 conceptions, the winds carry all these 80 inner subtle ways of thinking. They're going to collapse. And when it does, what you get to see is just like I think of it, the idea is, the element is like a flame or a butter lamp that flickers in the breeze. And he also says, it's like looking down at the bottom of a well. So the flame is white, it's really dark, and you just get this sort of light that sort of, that's what you see. And at this time, you stop breathing altogether, the doctors will pronounce you dead. There's no detectable heartbeat, the body becomes completely immobile, and there's no response to external stimuli. The tongue faculty, everything is stopped, right? So they often say the tongue is physically sick, it contracts, and often the root of it is now blue. So if the doctor or you look at that, that's what you're going to see. And you will be pronounced dead, or if you're looking at somebody, you say, they've died. They're dead. And from a Buddhist perspective, it's like, not yet, they're not. And they're not. Of course, you can't experience any sensations whatsoever in the body. That's all thing. So it's not as sort of obvious as that. More like what you, not so much the flame like that, but what's beneath it. So if you've ever seen, if you're in a dark room, you could do this tonight. Just get a match and light it, right? And then it'll start going down as it goes down. It's not like when it's like the big flame. It's like now when it's come down. It's nearly gone out, all you get that just before it goes out, you get that. And there's still that glow, and that's what you get to see. That's what the people appears to you. This has all happened just before this has happened. This is the breathing, and then the breath stops.
Yeah.
So exhalations are rapid, but the inhalations are really slow. And then the breath stops. And often when this is going on, then you get that rattling. If you've sat with someone who does, the breath rattle. So the flame is here, the sparks have passed. What's coming is a vivid white appearance. Well, no, that's already happened to them. If the person's been took down, you've got to ask them, okay, so how did they die? And you can look at those four things. They go, well, it's 1, 2, 3, or 4. They're just dying.
That's some monks.
But they're doing it as a deliberate practice.
Yeah, that's right. So here we're talking, so what
do
we're
they
talking,
know they are dying and therefore they're putting
of course
themselves
they do.
In that practice?
Of course they do. They are the down before, of course. Because they know death is standing. So they prepare for it. So this is not a practice, what's going on here.
No,
right? This is just a natural phenomenon.
Yes, yes, I understand.
Okay? So that's the first thing. This is ordinary death. These spiritual practitioners go through the death process, but they do something else about it. They do a whole lot of substitution practices.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't come to that
okay.
yet here.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, it's complicated.
No, you just jumped ahead. You're just way ahead of where we're up to.
Levi has a question. So one time when I was sitting vigil as someone was dying, I saw blue clouds arising from their body. How does that relate, or did I just have a hallucination?
Well, I don't know whether you hallucinated, Levi. You may have seen something quite like that, and I don't know. Levi, sorry. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
we can get a sense, though, of what's happening as someone's.
So here we're talking about like a death without any spiritual practice. What's going on there? It's called ordinary death. So it's simply just ordinary. From a Western perspective, the person has died. They are dead.
The yes. breath has stopped.
The breath has stopped. Brain function has stopped. All those sort of things, whatever they can measure by machines, has stopped. They're declared dead.
Yes.
From a Buddhist perspective, they are not dead. Because death means a separation of consciousness from the body, from these elements, from the physical thing.
So is that where the 49 days takes before they separate?
No.
Or am I confused with something else?
It's confused again.
Okay.
No, that's not the case. No.
I'll research that.
No, I'm sorry, no, it's okay. So we're at the stage now, right? Where we are running our class right now, is the breath has stopped, the person's declared dead. There is, but we'll talk about what's coming up in another class again. So there's all these things we can do as we're dying, and we can also, is how you can help the dying. So that's a whole class on that, that's coming up. Yeah. Okay. Let's do our first meditation. Please just get comfortable in your seat. So let your body be still, your shoulders relaxed, and let your breath find its natural rhythm. Just exhale and just feel grounded. So we have this human life, and it is precious because we can achieve particular and specific spiritual goals. It's precious and valuable. It's fragile though. Fragile and full of potential. So we're about to contemplate the death of the person who has this fragile body, this fragile life. So we want to explore it with wisdom and without fear. So the first element that dissolves is the earth element. And it's going to dissolve into the water element. So before it dissolves into this water element, your body will feel heavy. The limbs will loosen. Sight dims. And internally, a mirage-like vision arises. What insights might emerge as your sense of solidity dissolves like the breath into air? Next, the water element dissolves into fire. The fluids dry up, sensations fade, and hearing ceases. A smoky vision appears. When feelings dissolve, how does the view of pleasure and pain shift? Then the fire element dissolves into the wind element. The breath weakens, memory fades, and spark-like visions arise. When recognition dissolves, what remains of self? Then the wind dissolves into consciousness, and breath stops. A flame-like vision flickers. When all actions cease, how does awareness exist beyond the body? As the gross minds absorb, only the clear light remains, primordial and luminous. All phenomena have dissolved like breath into air. All appearances arise from and return to the clear light mind, like the sun rising and setting. Could this understanding help free you from attachment? So life's impermanence, the impermanence of life, the changeability of life, invites us to prepare for death through the practice of Dharma. So breathing in, exhale, and just return your awareness to the room. So here in this meditation, I asked different questions and didn't answer them. I wanted you to sort of... Okay, next quote. So here the first Panchanama says, may we know our own nature, ourselves. Through the yoga, realizing cyclic existence and nirvana as empty. When appearance, increase, and near attainment dissolve, the earlier into the latter, and experiences like pervasive moonlight, sunlight, and darkness dawn. But now we're talking about what happens when the consciousness starts to all break down, fall apart. So all the physical stuff, the elements have gone, now we've got the last element of called consciousness. So you might not be aware of it, but consciousness, from a Buddhist perspective, has... You can talk about it in different ways. So often I think about like a coarse consciousness. So here, they've all gone, right? Consciousness associated with our eyes, with our ears, with tactility, they've gone. They've dissolved into more subtle consciousness. So when the gross consciousness has gone down, the medical practitioners have said we're dead. From a Buddhist perspective, we're not. Because the subtle consciousness is still there. Still within the body. And as that dissolves, again, appearances arise. And this is for, like I said, the ordinary death. From a perspective of spiritual practice, this is completely different. So here's the collapse of consciousness. So at first is a vivid white appearance, it's called the empty. Then there's a vivid red increase, it's called a very empty. A vivid black near attainment called the great empty, and clear light of death is called the all empty. Now the empties they're talking about here is not the emptiness of inherent existence. They're not talking about wisdom realizing emptiness here. The word empty means something else. So the vivid white appearance, for instance, is called the empty. It is empty of all the other appearances that were before it. These appearances are not going to arise here.
So these are like ordinary emptinesses.
Yeah, that's what we always say. The purse is empty of money. No money in the purse. Here, the white has no appearances of anything that came before it. When we call the vivid red increase appears, the white is not going to come back. It's empty of that and everything before it. In the black, it's the same and finally to the clear light. So here, so death in the Tantra tradition isn't an ending, but a revealing. So from West Point, it's over, you're dead, and often it's like there's nothing there, it's you're gone, everything was over. Tantra goes, no. What's going to happen is more subtle levels of consciousness are going to appear to you. And you're going to get right down to the very subtle consciousness called clear light. So we go through each of these quickly. So the white appearance. So again, you have to say, like we were practicing now, God, here's the white. What was before it? The flame, that's right. We saw the flame, right? The flame is past. We're in the white now. But a vivid reddish orange is about to appear. So in summary, when the 80 indicative conceptions, those 80 very subtle minds with their winds, when they dissolve, the first luminosity called empty dawns. During this stage, the winds in the body, there's still stuff going on in here. So the energy enters the left and right channels. So then we talk about the tantric body. So it's made up of all these inner channels, it's got winds and drops. And they're still functioning. And as they function, these appearances dawn. So first is the white, then you get the red. Again, you can see what you're doing. You're always saying, well, this is what's happening now. That happened before, and something else is going to happen next.
Except it'd be very hard to be saying that.
You don't say it, you can't say it. Remember, you have no conception. So that's why you do it now. So the word meditation means to become familiar with something. So you become familiar with this process now while we're living and become fearless in the face of it. There's no fear here, it's natural. So that when you actually die, you don't have any fear. So as these thoughts, so the 80 indicative conceptions can dissolve, there's different presentations on this, in stages, each associated with one of these colours. So like first, for instance, the anger goes. Then after that goes the attachment, and finally, the ignorance. So we have these different appearances. Now, when this happens, this has got like two stages. When the black appears, the red increase dissolves into black near attainment. So these different energies inside your body come to what they call the heart chakra, right? So here. So many practices are done here in Buddhism because the most subtle mind, this is where the birth sort of takes place on this very subtle mind and goes out when you die, all passes back inwards. It goes back out again. It's just in, out, in, out. And in this part, so one is like you're aware of the black, consciousness is aware of it, and then it's not. Like it's a faint, like it's got faints or swoons. And when it comes out of that swoon, it's the clear your light. So here this he says, when the mother and child clear light meet, when near attainment dissolves into the all empty and all conceptual multiplications cease, and an experience like an autumn sky free from polluting conditions dawns. So here he's talking also about, now he's talking about spiritual practice. So if a person has familiarized themselves with emptiness during their life, because emptiness is also like a vacuity, inherent existence no longer appears. This awareness itself is like space, clear light is like space. And emptiness is like space. So if you've practiced emptiness, you're waiting for this. This is wonderful for you. You're ready. This is the whole idea. Get ready for this. This is the real big deal. Even before that, if you're a spiritual practitioner, all those stages of different lives, they're valuable to you. You can do stuff in there. But an ordinary person can't. No training in it. The tantric training is all about this part. It can all be used now. Now we can actually use it. So here they're talking about the mother clear light and the child clear light. So the I think the mother clear light is just the clear light of death. So this is not emptiness. It's just the clear light of death. But the child clear light, that's what you have cultivated, your understanding of emptiness. And you're going to bring this understanding with this and get it together, merge it together. Now we do something like, I say, each time in our visualizations, right? When we have, here's the Buddha, he comes over, he comes down the heart, he comes down to the heart, here to the heart, and we go, oh, now Buddha's mind and my mind are the same. This is what's actually going to happen at this stage here. So this is like a gross presentation of you understanding it. It looks like, oh, something we call Buddha's out there, comes in here, comes out here, oh, now it's great. Right? But of course, that's not what's actually happening. It looks like that. Here it's like, no, my own mind. I'm becoming him, my own mind. I know my mind. I know my mind is empty. I need to push my wisdom into that appearance.
Consciousness.
Yeah, so this doesn't have anything to do with power either.
Not into stuff.
So this is different again. So when you bring those things up, they're specific practices. So here we've got we're here all learning about emptiness and about the mind and how things exist and so forth, and we're training in we're trying to become familiar with emptiness in a sutra perspective. There's also the understanding of using the development of wisdom in the tantric practices. So if you go into the tantras and you learn how to do that, this is what you're waiting for. Right? Like, it's now is the time to get enlightened. This is going to be easy. It's much easier to do it here than any other time in your life. So it's like a sense of, like you say, like joy, right? And this whole sentence is, oh, I'm really looking forward to this. It's now the same.
Is that because the mother and child clear light actually meet instead of just us doing it in a like practice meditation?
Yeah. So of course, we have the clear light of death. And so while we're alive in life, right? And we're meditating on emptiness, you go, so what's the object here? What's the object that's empty? Well, there's two real major ones. One is the sense of self, I. You say, oh, I does not exist inherently, no such I there. Great, but what's this other phenomenon? It was called mind. Well, the mind is empty too. So in the sutra, we're going to go, okay, that's the object. I need to find the emptiness of the mind. So when you do, of course, that object and the subject that's invested in it go together. Object vanishes, only emptiness appears. So this is great for you. If you can do that while you're alive, this is exactly what you're doing now. Except you've done it already before you die, right? It's like, no, before I die, I'm going to do the emptiness meditation. And this you get a very different experience then. In fact, none of these things are going to appear to you. Okay, so yeah, so we get the clear light of death, right? So okay, here's the clear light, it's here. For ordinary beings, this clear light passes quickly, unrecognized. However, trained practitioners can remain in this state through meditative absorption. As has been mentioned before, Lin Rinpoche, a highly realized meditator, remained absorbed in the clear light for 13 days. Other people could do it much longer. During which time, the luster and freshness of the body remain. The ability to recognize and remain in the clear light state is considered extremely valuable in tantric practice. When practitioners can unite the mother clear light, which is the natural clear light of death, with the child clear light, the clear light that realizes emptiness, they can transform death into profound spiritual opportunity. So this is, you know, when you look at what the Buddha taught, that the two biggest realizations, two biggest meditations, most important in all of Buddhism, are death and impermanence, and emptiness. They're the major biggies. They're the big ones. And it's like death being certain, but we're all going to die. So what can we bring to that death? Well, the wisdom realized in emptiness. You do this. This is mainly set in one-pointed profound meditation in the exalted wisdom of joined innate bliss and emptiness during the four empties upon the melting of the moon-like white constituent by the fire of the lightning-like powerful female. So here we're really talking about tantric practice here. And so we're not going to go into that, but this, all of tantra has to do with this. And becoming a Buddha at the time of death, or in the Bardo, or just before rebirth. Any of these states, you take them onto the path. For ordinary people, you can't, you don't have the method. There's no method, right? The tantra is like method. So this is, so you can ask, there's lots of interesting questions here about the clear light and so forth. And I'm not sure if we've got it up on our site, but I extracted some material from Alexander's Berzin's book on clear light of death, appearances and so forth, and it's really something else. It's a really good explanation of the subtle mind and what you're trying to do with it and what appears and tantric practice and all that sort of stuff. Again, so let's do our last meditation. Yeah. Again, I mean, this material is so big and quite dense too, you know, so you're just getting introduced to it, so don't freak out if you don't get it.
One more, if I may quickly, whether relevant or not, with the different chakras,
yes,
the colors that you're mentioning here, is that to do also with the meditations you do on that? Or is that a little bit different? The colors that you're mentioning here, the red, the white, the orange, the black, is that also in relation to...
So those aren't chakras, those are just appearances.
No, these aren't, but are they related in any way to the chakra practices of all meditations?
Just after the last meditation, please. Again, just kind of get comfortable in your seat. Let your body relax and allow yourself to breathe normally and naturally. So meditating on the death process to guide us towards wisdom and compassion for ourselves and others. So as the body ceases functioning, consciousness reveals deeper layers through subtle dissolutions. First, a luminous white appearance arises. It's like moonlight filling space. This signifies the first empty as anger-based concepts dissolve. Now, Next, a radiant red glow emerges, like a sunset sky. It marks the very empty, as desire-based concepts fade away. Then comes profound darkness. It's like a moonless night. And it indicates the great empty, as ignorance-based thoughts cease. Finally, the clear light of death dawns, colorless and luminous, revealing the all empty, free from all appearances. This clear light signifies the ultimate truth. It reveals mind's pure nature, where phenomena dissolve like breath into air. We need to connect with this innate clear light and bring to it wisdom and compassion. And through this practice, bring peace and awakening to all beings. Okay, again, breathe in. Now, when that happens, when, from a Buddhist perspective, you're dead, normally. Unless, of course, you're practicing, because if you can abide in that clear light, your body is going to remain fresh for days and days, and people are going to go, what the heck's going on? From a Buddhist perspective, you look after that person, they're not dead. Consciousness is still there. And when the consciousness leaves, then it's called death. And when this happens, there's a couple of signs. So consciousness leaves the heart, you die, and the intermediate state begins. When you're looking down at the person, what often will happen, maybe a little blood might leave the nostril. And sometimes from the sexual organ, a little drop of white might appear. And the appearance of these substances indicate that subtle consciousness has left the body. Elvis has left the room.
That's right.
And from a tantric perspective, the person has died. And from now on, the body starts to decompose. It's for ordinary beings, the consciousness typically leaves the body within 3 days after breathing is stopped. However, accomplished meditators can remain in the clear light for much longer periods. In the case of a sudden death due to an accident, these 8 events of the death process happen very, very quickly. The consciousness generally leaves the body much faster in such cases because the natural dissolution sequence is accelerated or disrupted. Think about cluster A. Now, this book is up there for sale for like about $8. I know when you buy this, it's pretty close to 30. Like I say, the print size is good. If you don't have it and you want to still do it, buy it. I'll get the other one so I don't have lost it. Anyway, this is the whole purpose of this class, is to help you sort of try to recognize the inner and outer appearances. It's very useful if you're sitting beside somebody who's dying and they get confused and you know what's going on inside. It's really helpful for you. And if you're the one that's dying, it's also helpful for you. So there's some notes up there on the side, have a look at those, and we're going to keep on going on with this. We're going to talk about karma and rebirth, and we'll go into this the Bardo states and so forth. So let's dedicate the merits. So, taking your understanding and recollecting the kindness of teachers and the Buddha himself who taught all these methods, say, due to the merits of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of a Guru Buddha and lead all living beings, without exception, into that enlightened state. May the Supreme Jewel, Bodhicitta, not yet born and rising there, may that born have no decline but increase forevermore. And as long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, May I too remain to dispel the sorrows of the world. We promise to God, the wish granted, wish fulfilling jewel, source of every single benefit and happiness in this world. To the incomparably kind King Yatsa, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be spontaneously fulfilled. And last thing, Sir Rinpoche has been recognized to.
He has returned,
but we don't know where he is actually. So, for a swift finding,
recognition
and finding, in holding and spreading the Moody's precious and complete teachings through explanation and practice, we warn the army of patience that is never discouraged. Incomparable, able Guru, to you, I make this request.